I'm E.
I'm Rob.
I'm G.
Welcome to the next movement, folks.
Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer. Listen. Yo, the gods ride mysterious, shake it down, delirious. Caught your bitch ass in the red, see that's a period. Slow it for the idiots, beat tapers, hideous. Electric ladies send shockwaves, are you experienced? Mr. Magic, rap attack, 40 ounce, sitting backstage is a cage. You're a runaway, a scaredy cat. I'm a diplomat, so far from this and that. It's a trailer load, tell me where to go, where the ladies at. Creative effort, sketches and paper, I'm a risk taker. Call favors like this, smart neighbor, major. Four alarm blazer, upsetting. The nature like Dom Draper, trailblazer, nigga, this a layer. Yo, jamming in Jamaica with some fisherman, intel from Switzerland. Don't crack a smile, they was disciplined. Never understood what the issue is. Yo, I'm official kid, don't turn around, niggas disappear. Sport a chinchilla through the blizzard, all for seven figures. Might cop an act figure if all things considered. Yo, slang gang exonerated, stay woke, my nigga. Caught you in the bear trap, it ain't all smoke and mirrors. Yo,
happy new year. This is our first episode of 2022, and we are kicking things off with the one and only Jay Cyanide. Thanks for coming through, man.
Yo, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Of course.
Yo, I'm happy to be here. Let me tell you, yo, I'm already familiar with the show. Like, I thought I would subscribe to the show. I would just find it, and I would just, like, there's certain episodes, like, I've already heard. Like the first episode, the one I really liked was like the 3 Feet High and Rising.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one. Like there's certain ones that I've already heard. So I'm like, man, I'm with it. Like I'm familiar with the show. I'm a fan. So,
okay.
Yeah,
man, well, like, damn, that's pretty humbling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yo, it's an honor. Yeah. I really appreciate y'all, you know, reaching out. I really do appreciate that.
You've been doing this for some time now, and I did not realize that until I really dug into your resume. When did it feel
old.
Like?
Oh, no. Again,
I feel that, yo.
I got some grades. I got the grades and stuff. I'm getting old. You can see it in my eyes and stuff, but, you know, I've been around. I started young, but I've been around.
Well, I don't know about you, but it feels like the last 2 years have felt like 10 years. So now I feel really fucking old.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, me too.
I wondered for you, like, along this journey, when did it feel like people really started to pay attention to your work and what you're trying to do as an artist? Do you think a particular project really set that off?
Yeah, the first one. I think the actual heat, like, pretty much, to be honest, yeah, the actual heat really set things off. Like, I was dropping, like, little singles and, like, you know, just to get my name out there. Like, I'm not originally, like, from D.C. I'm, like, a transplant. Like, I'm originally, like, a lot of people even know it. I'm originally from Charlotte. So I'm a transplant, but I'm back and forth, like, you know, D.C. and New York, like, a lot. Like, a lot. Like, basically, like, New York and, like, places like that raised me also. But I think when I was putting out the singles, those helped me help people, like, kind of, like, I was bubbling a little bit. But, yeah, when I dropped, like, the actual heat, when I dropped my debut album, that's when things started to change. People started to, like, kind of take notice. And, like, a lot of DJs were starting to check for, like, what I was doing. And I was getting spins from all this place and that place. Like, certain songs I dropped, I was getting, like, I was doing interviews with DJs in, like, Berlin. Like, when it dropped, like, that the next day, it was, like, it was so crazy. It was like a whirlwind. And, yeah, when that album dropped, It like pretty much changed my trajectory. It just changed things for me. Like certain songs, certain DJs, certain people I thought that would never listen to my music were like taking notice, like Funkmaster Flex. Mm. You know, like when I got the bombs on Funkmaster Flex and like Rosenberg started playing it early, that's when I know I like things. Okay, things gonna change. Things are changing right now. So yeah, that was the album. That was the one.
Was that important to you?
I mean, yeah, it was because, like, I had been working at it so long. I actually, like, stopped doing music. And so I had stopped doing music. I had gotten, like, I was married and I got divorced. And so when I got divorced, I remember I had moved out and like, yeah, this is like a basement apartment. And one day the sun just came. I was like, it was all gloomy. It was a gloomy day. I was like, oh man, I got to do this shit today. And like the sun just came out nowhere. And it was just like, oh shit, like I'm single. And like this creative, I don't know, this creative like nucleus, like this little atom is just started going. And like, I went and got my records out of storage, got my equipment. And like, I just sat there in the crib, just hunkered down and just knocked everything out. Just knocked that album out. I don't know, something just spoke to me. And I just went for it.
Sometimes life gives you signs like that.
Yeah, it was like, it was a crazy sign. And I'm very appreciative of it. Like, I just, like, of everything that's been that happened then and everything that's happening now in the future, I embrace it. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm here for the roller coaster ride, all of it.
So let's talk about your most recent project, Somebody's Paradise. So you dropped this literally at the end of 2021, came out a few weeks ago. And I've always wondered about folks' decision to drop a project at the end of a given year. Is there any strategy in this, or is it not that deep? Do you just release things when you want to release them?
It wasn't that deep. It's like right now I'm in like a great creative space. To be honest with you, like, I did all of that, like, while everybody was, like, should have been at home, like, during, like, Thanksgiving holiday, or, like, that Black Friday, whatever, I did that whole project. Like, it was a couple, I mean, it's only, like, what, 12 minutes? 12, 13 minutes, but at the same time, it's 12, 13 minutes, but it's a dope 12, 13 minutes. Like, I created all those beats and I was watching TV and like, I just started writing. Everything just started flowing. The only song was Lava Air Text. I had sent that beat to Recognize Ali. He's only guest appearance on it. I sent it to him like a while ago. He knocked it out. But everything else was done like that, I think between Wednesday, that Wednesday night, right night before Thanksgiving, and I was pretty much done by Friday. So it was not just like I got it mixed and mastered, and yeah, I just gave it to Fat Beats. I was like, yo, can y'all put this out? And they were like, sure. And it's been doing really good. It's been doing great. Like, actually, like, I got nominated for like a Whammy. Like, I didn't know what that was. It's like the DC is equivalent of a Grammy.
Okay.
And so for like, it's like for album of the, like, rap album of the year. I'm like, dog, it's 12 minutes, man. I was like, yo, it's a 12 minute hot song. I'm like, okay, that's dope. But like, yeah, like a lot of people have been playing it. I've been getting like a really good response from that. So I'm like, I'm looking forward to it. So I just want to see what people are going to think about when I drop the album, when I drop Kaput in February. So hopefully it'll be the same. It'll be the same looks. People would like, I guess, take notice of it.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the hook on Sledgehammer, one of the tracks on Somebody's Paradise.
Yeah.
At the end of it, you say, my man's a ghostwriter, you was a liar. Oh, that's crazy shit. Rashid Wallace with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's crazy shit.
I heard that that's and crazy. I was like, where did that come from? Like, it brings up such a specific image, Rashid Wallace with Alzheimer's. Obviously, for anyone who watched him play, how did you think of that? Like, where did that come from?
I was watching like some old commercials or something, like old NBA commercials. I watch random stuff on YouTube, anything, like all the time, like stuff from the 90s and the 80s, 70s, anything. And it was Rashid Wallace. It was like a NBA, I think it was like a little profile on Rashid Wallace. And I always thought like he was interesting, even when he played for like Carolina. Yeah. He was like a dope player, but he was like, Rashid was a wild dude. And so I just like, yo, can you imagine how wild he's gonna be? Like, if he had that. So I was just writing. I was just like, yo, this is funny. Like, I try to like add like some little funny little lines, like some little wit. Like when I'm rhyming,
yeah.
So I'm like Rashid Wallace with Alzheimer's. That's like, that's kind of dope. Nobody would say anything like that. And like, you know, I mean, hopefully, you know, who knows? It might get back to him. He a hip hop fan. He might be like, hey, you know. So, yeah, like I just thought it was a dope line. Like when I sometimes I'm watching TV, I might catch something or like a little phrase. I'm like, let me add that. Yeah. So it came out dope.
Yeah. I mean, it really drives home that shit's crazy. It's a very specific image. I loved it.
Yeah. Thanks.
You mentioned Recognize Ali. The EP only has one feature, Recognize Ali. I'm wondering, how do you decide when you want a guest verse on something and who that guest should be?
When I listened, it was easy. He owed me a verse. That's how I saw it. He owed me a verse. Like, I've known Rec for like a while. We did a song, like, I have a friend of mine, a Canadian producer named Future Wave. We did a song on one of his albums, and like we just clicked with each other. And like, you know, on the old label I was on, they was trying to sign him also. He was just like he was just that dude. And like, I know he's been doing a lot of stuff. Like, I've done features for him before. So I was like, yo, he owe me a favor. And plus, like, his last album, I did the cover for his last album. I shot the picture and everything. Oh, okay. So he was like, yo, he like, I got you. We'll probably have more work, but like, When I heard the beat, he was the first person like I thought about. Plus, I mean, he owed me a verse anyway, but he was like the first person I just thought about. I can just hear him on it.
Hmm.
But sometimes I have problems like trying to figure out like who like I could get the feature or who should feature on some songs because like I make beats and a lot of my beats are like really unorthodox. Like my pattern, the way like the beat goes or the samples are my choices. Like, I don't know. It's just crazy because I want somebody that can like, you know, probably match me like when I'm like the way I rhyme.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to find somebody sometimes. And like I said, the beats are just like really like left sometimes. Like you could ask Kev, like Kev Brown, like Kev around on my beats. Like Kev would see me make a beat and he is like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? what about how? And he's also told me like the way that he's watched me make beats has helped him like in the process, his beat process. It's crazy. It's kind of hard sometimes, but I'm working on new material now and I'm trying to figure out like who I could get to like rhyme on these songs or like who can I get like to do a verse. It's crazy.
Well, the beat on Lava Airtex is a crazy beat. I love how you let it breathe at the end. And actually, my next question was going to be about your process as a producer. I've heard Kev Brown describe your process of making beats as unconventional.
Yeah, it is.
What do you have a sense of like what makes it so unorthodox?
It's like, I don't know. It's just my ear. Like everybody's got like this different ear. I think it has to do with like the music I listen to, because like most of the time, like I'm a hip hop artist, but I also listen to like a lot of different music. I listen to like a lot of progressive rock. I listen to like a lot of industrial music. I listen to like a lot of different things. And I kind of like try to mesh it all into my style. And like, I might sample something, a different part of a record that, you know, okay, like the kick or the snare like supposed to go right here. I might sample the totally like a totally different part. It's just my ear is just it's just weird because I kind of want it to like I say I want it to be abstract, but I want it to be sometimes I want a piece to be real abstract or like real dusty and just be different. I just like it's just my trademark of just different, just a different sound. It's like, it's hard to explain, but I think it has come from like all the different types of music I listen to, like a lot of new wave and punk. So I think I get it from listening to this different music and listening to like different styles. It's gotta be it. It's real hard. Like it's hard. it's different.
The influences are different and you like have a different ear. And are you putting it together differently too? Is like the way you build things different?
Not really.
Okay.
I think I build things like the way everybody else does. You know, sometimes I might start with the drums. Sometimes I might make I might use a break. I might chop it up and then I'll start with a sample. Sometimes I'll find a sample. Sometimes it don't need no drums. I know right now it's a big thing. People are like, oh, everything need drums. It don't. Like if I do sample a record and it doesn't have drums, it's got some kind of like a drum or a kick or something in it. It always has something in it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just no method to my madness. Like I just I just do what I want to do. If it sounds good to me, I just keep it. Like, I used to be like, you know, a lot of people used to tell me like, yo, man, you need to start making, like, you need to do make industry beats. And I'm like, what the fuck is an industry beat? Like, you need to do the stuff that people are doing on the radio or people are doing like this for your sound. You know, I can't believe like people, you know what I'm saying, like, I can't believe like somebody would tell me like, I got to change my style to get on the radio.
Yeah.
And what's so funny, these people have never been on the radio. And then like, they asked me, how did you get on the radio? I was like, I was just being myself. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It sounds like the appreciating that wide spectrum of sound really served as a tool when you were developing your skills as a producer. Would you say that?
It did. It did. It helped out a lot. Like, it also, like, the sound like that I go for, it helps me out with my writing. Like, I think my writing has stepped up. Like, I've gotten like some crazy records. Like, I'm just like really in like a great space for like creating right now. Like, I'm probably gonna make a record when we get off, like today, like when we get off the off this call, whatever, I'll probably make a record tonight. I'm really in this dope space. I got a couple. I just had a couple ideas, like just sitting here talking to y'all.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad we could help inspire something.
Yeah.
So when you're making an album like Enough to Plague a Saint, which you released last year with Body Bag Ben,
yeah.
Are you?
Shout out to Ben.
Yeah, shout out to Ben. Are you completely hands off when it comes to the beats on a project like that?
On that project, I was, because he just kept sending me like so much heat, and I didn't have to say anything. Like, I'm like, dude, and it was cool because I could take the time off and just concentrate on writing. And he was just sending me like all these songs. Like, Ben is a really dope producer, DJ, and an MC. And like, sometimes it's cool, like, to, you know, see what somebody else is doing. And like, you know, just be able to just write, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I recorded that album like on lockdown. We were on lockdown. Like, Ben is in LA. You know, I'm over here on the East Coast. Like, I was at home. Like, every night, I would write something, just write it, knock it out. And I would send it back to him. I had to start recording at home because I was like, I'm gonna be here for a while. Might as well just start recording at the house. So, yo, we knocked that out. And like, that album, very, very proud of that album. Mm. Very proud of that album. Like, that album did great also. Mm-hmm. I'm really happy about that album. Vinyl will be out real soon too. Static King Records.
Nice.
Yeah, I gotta throw that in there.
I think my favorite line is from Set the Stage.
Listen, you're not stopping to my competition dead and right. Your 2 weeks down here speak, they gone forgotten. You're on the seventh day, I rested on Egyptian cotton. Niggas can't believe a side nine skills I got to see them. Wise, intelligent, poor, righteous, elegant, an uptown resident. Vocal style is excellent. See, niggas took a vote when elected me as your delegate. Your knowledge, wisdom, understanding, no use for a pessimist. Some people try to get you all about your element, then you gotta stampede. Stomp him like an elephant. I'm a loose cannon, that's emphatically indefinite. Intertwined nouns and verbs, it's so effortless. All I really want is a briefcase full of presidents. Big bills, cold hard cash, that's my preference. Here's a toast, raising my glass, a strong beverage. Quote my image in the mirror, nigga, you're the best at this.
Yes, at the stage of Rome Street.
With Rome Street, yeah.
Yeah.
When you say wise, intelligent, poor, righteous, elegant.
Yeah, oh, you got it.
I was like, yes. I was just like, yes, a play on words that I understand.
Yo, I was like, man, I was like, I hope somebody gets this like line.
I love it.
That's dope. I'm glad you got that, yo, because like some people are like, you know, who is that? Like, yo, it's wise, intelligent.
Normally, that's not the case for me, so I was pretty happy. I'll find out what shit meant 10 years down the road. So I was pretty impressed with myself. But yeah, dope project.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you were talking about photography a little bit earlier, and you actually shot the cover for Somebody's Paradise. I wondered if you could talk to us about your interest in photography and how it's developed over time.
I don't know. I just had like this eye. I just always like just taking pictures of like the most of just the most random like shit. I like street photography, and I think like when Instagram first came out, like I really started getting more aware of like street photographers and people taking pictures. I would follow certain people, and I would just like, yo, okay, I like the style. I like what they're doing, how they're doing this. I'm like, damn, how did they get there to take this picture? It's just certain things and certain pictures, and like they just roll over to like album covers. Just certain album covers. So like, I look at like random album covers, and like I just really like love like photography. It's something I really want to start getting more into. You know, like with that album, like that picture, whatever. That was a fluke. Like I didn't do anything to that picture. I just took that picture. I was with a friend, and then she was getting out of the car, and she was going upstairs, now like to her apartment. We were in Brooklyn. I was like, you know, hold on for a minute. The sun looks real weird right now. Like I'll see you in a minute. And I just went up the street, and I just took like a couple of pictures, and I took that one picture, you know. And I was walking, and I was like, I need the title for this like this album. Like sometimes when I take pictures, I just automatically start thinking of like albums or like album titles or like what to do with this. Like I got a couple of other EPs that I'll probably be putting out like during the year. Like Somebody's Paradise was probably the first one. That was the first thing. And it was like the end of last year. But yeah, that picture, I just took it. And then I got a friend of mine named Ace. I told Ace, I like, yo, let's just put a little white line, put the title on it and stuff like that. And that's the cover. You know, he was like, cool. Like, I got a single coming out next week on the 14th for Kaput. It's called Bomb Scare. And so I did the artwork for that. And it's crazy. It's crazy. I just like my artwork to look a little bit different, like, than everybody else's. Like, so I'm like really trying to get more into like photography. I'm like, I don't need every picture to have like a nun holding like a baby with an eyes shout out or something. I don't need that. I just need something totally different than like that picture of like little fat angel babies. Like what are they called? Cherubs? What, yo, like little babies with like with M16s? I want something a little bit different, yo. No, not knocking nobody else, but right, I just need something like we do art. Let's do art.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious about where that picture for Somebody's Paradise was taken, and
Brooklyn. I took it in Brooklyn. I think on Prospect. I was just walking. I was like, it was in Crown Heights. I was just walking, and like I said, the sun was going down, and it just the sky just looked real. It just looked crazy, and I just took the picture, and it was cold as hell outside. I was like, oh man, let me take this picture. I went back in the crib, and I was hyped. Cause I was like, I knew this picture was gonna be an album cover.
Yeah,
it was gonna be something. Yeah, when I took it, I was like, yeah, this is it. This is it right here. And I didn't do anything to it. I'm like, this is the one.
Well, I love the story behind it because, like, just sort of aligning it with the title, like where that location was, where you took the picture, that is Somebody's Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, this is, like, I have like a love for like just walking through New York. Like, is this something about like the city to just like I get it makes like the create like creativity is like it just flows. Like I'll just walk the random places and like just look at the people, see the people. Same thing like when like London, like I go to England and it's just something about it. Like when I see certain people or see certain things or see certain styles or see what people are wearing. It just sparks something. It makes me want to write. It makes me want to go find something to listen to. 9 times out of 10, I got something random in my headphones. So I'm always listening to something. So yeah, that picture was like, it just sparked something. Same thing with the picture for, Recognize the Light, Recognize Ali's album cover. Like it just rained and I just took that picture. And the way the sun rays hit it, like if you ever get a chance to see the album cover, I think it's also like his profile picture or whatever. It's just dope. I posted it. He hit me up like 5 minutes later. He was like, yo, I need this for my album cover. So I just took it down. I was like, say less. Like, let's go. You know, so yeah, hopefully like this year and next year, whatever, you'll see more photography and stuff.
Well, you've mentioned this new project you've got coming on February 1st called Kaput. Tell us about the title. Where'd the title come from?
Kaput is like, I just thought about that because I'm like, it's basically like the old me. And now it's this new me. The old me is over. He's done. It's a wrap. It's kaput. So I was like, kaput. I was like, I said that. I was like, yo, that'll be a dope title for like an album. Cause like, yeah, it's like kaput is like it's the end. It's over.
Yeah.
It's like it's over, but it's over, but it's also like new. Cause like I said, like the old me would pretty much second guess myself or like second guess what I was doing or like maybe nobody's not gonna like this or that. And that was the old me, like maybe a few years ago when I wasn't so established and I wasn't like, you know, doing what I'm doing now. So that old dude is done. Like now it's me. I'm like, yo, I'll do whatever I wanna do. So like creatively. So I'm like, yo, it's kaput. So it's done. It's thumbs down. It's over.
That puts the cover to the project in a whole new light.
Oh yeah. You said the album. Oh, I can't wait for people to see the album cover, yo.
It's so good.
Oh yeah, that's funny, yo. Shout out to my homeboy, Mike, my homeboy TTK. He did the artwork for that. And like he's a really dope graphic artist. He's a dope painter. Like he's just a real dope creative. And like he's one of my best friends. And so I had the idea. I like the idea for certain things, like the idea for the picture, you know, picture of me in the back. Because when I was a little kid, like I never smiled in pictures. I never smiled. I wasn't like those sad little kid growing up. I was just like, that was just my demeanor. I just like, most of the time when you see me, like I'm walking on the street, I'm not smiling. But like, when you talk to me, like, you know, it's different, you know? So yeah, it's funny. I ain't gonna say too much about it, but like when people see it, they're gonna be like, wow. And like, we just went bananas on the cover. Like, oh, let's put this and do this. He sent me back all these ideas. I'm like, hell yeah, this shit does not look like anybody's album cover. No. This is gonna make people like, yo, I wanna listen to this. I wanna see what he's talking about. Like from that, the intro is different. Everything is gonna make you wonder, like, what the fuck is he on? So yeah, I'm glad it came out like that.
When you sent us the advance, which thank you, by the way, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was look at the cover before I listened to anything, and I was like, What is this? This is going to be interesting. And so I appreciate your explanation because that does frame it in a very specific way. But I think there's something different about the sound on this project too. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I got maybe four tracks in and was like, this is slightly different. Is that the case for you? I mean, it sounds like maybe it is that you intentionally set out to make something new, make something slightly different than before.
Yeah, I think like I've pretty much grown like as an artist. So I just wanted to make something that shows like my growth. Like my beats are always going to be like crazy. They're going to be dusty. They might be minimal. Sometimes I might use this or that. They might have some fuzz in them. Like anything, like I just want to show people like, okay, like it's other ways to do this. Like it's other ways. You don't have to do what everybody else is doing to still represent hip hop or to still, you know. So I'm like, yo, I'm like, you know what? Let's let me go take a different avenue. This is going to be a little bit different than any other project I've ever done, but it's also letting people see like, okay, like he has grown. See, if you really listen to it, Somebody's Paradise was pretty much like the pregame to this album. Like, because like you could also tell like the growth and the change when you listen to Somebody's Paradise and then going into this album, you could hear like, okay, like he's on something different. He's trying to be an individual. He's trying to be himself. I'm just trying to show people like the growth, like when it's like we grow as people. So we grow as artists. And, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm just keeping it moving.
To that end, I don't want to reveal too much about the project because I want to let people discover it. But I did want to ask you about one specific thing. On Daylight Savings, there's one line that like jumped out at me. It said, "My introduction to the game was a horror show. See, that explains why I'm pinching every dollar, yo."
And it was a horror show. Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered if we could like unpack that a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, so when I started, like back, you know, way back in the days, like I would say like that, yeah, when I really first started like doing this, you know, I was doing it with like family and like, you know, we all grew with it and then we grew apart. Like it's hard to work like with your family and stuff like that, and like, you know, it's hard to get every like a lot of things done. And I remember like, you know, we started a label back way back in the days. I remember like it was time, it was like, you know, pay taxes for a label and everything, and nobody was helping out, and it was like, it was just a horror show trying to get like everybody, it was just like get everybody in line, get everybody focused. And around that time, it was horrible because we had like a distribution deal, and we had a deal then, and we weren't working on like trying to like get anything done. Like that distribution deal, it was like DJ Fisher. Fisher was MF Doom's manager at the time. So we got a deal. Doom was the cosign. Like Doom and Grimm. So, but we didn't do anything. And I think like, it kind of like people, you know, we start arguing with each other and stuff like that. So it was like a horror show. So then I was on another label before, like after that, when like when the actual heat came out, and that label basically imploded like in within itself. So that was another horror show. It was like, dang, I'm like, yo, can I catch a break? So now that I'm doing things on my own and I have my own label, you know, I'm just like, I was basically like, just, I gotta put it like, basically just letting it go. Like, yo, my intro into the game was a horror show. Cause it was bad. Like we couldn't, nobody would see eye to eye by like creative differences, and like working with a whole group of people. You gotta work with a whole group of people. Now I'm just working with myself. I may be like one or two other people, and that's like on artwork and everything. So I'm more relaxed. I don't like you. At that time, it was just, yeah, it sucked. It was horrible.
I mean, this sounds like a fitting project to like address that on. You talk about leaving the past behind.
But I did want to ask about Static King Records. You started your own record label in 2020. And I wondered if you could talk to us about what inspired this and some of the biggest challenges and the rewards that you've experienced thus far.
I think like, well, I started the label. It was kind of like, it was weird because I wasn't planning on doing it at first. I had sold out of all my copies of the actual heat. And so a friend of mine hit me and he was like, yo, you know, I know a couple of people over at Fat Beats and I think they might be interested in like, you know, repressing it. And I'm like, for real? And you're like, yeah. So I reached out to them and they were interested. And so I got the album repressed. And so they sent me over some paperwork and everything. And I was looking over it. I was thinking like it's artist paperwork or something. And they were like, well, you know, you think you might be interested in like starting. I think like when I was talking to them, they could see something in me or something. So they're like, you want to maybe start your own label? And I'm like, why not? Yo, I'm like, why not? Why not just give it a try? So I got the paperwork. I looked over it. Like a good family friend, a good friend of mine is Bobbito Garcia. So I got Bob to look at it. And he was like, well, this is a standard deal for like, you know, thing for Fat Beats. So he's like, yo, go for it. And like, you know, and I always was a fan of like, you know, what he did, like with his labels. And also I was always a fan of like I listened to like a lot of different indie music. And so like small indie labels, and it's cool. Like, you know, you had the freedom to be able to put your own stuff out. And I always thought that was cool. So I was like, you know, if I'm gonna do it, why not? Listen, like, why not see what happens? Like, throw my hat in the ring. And so far, it's been good. Because like the first thing I repressed the actual heat, so that was the first release. And so then the next release was, which I was like, which hit like a storm, was Straight for the Pack. Mm. Straight from the Pack hit, like me and Kev dropped that, and I was on Static King too. And that album really did good for me. We dropped that album like maybe a week ago, like 2020, like a week ago from like right now, like in January, last January we dropped that album. Mm-hmm. And we just did the deluxe version. Like, I dropped that album with a label, with my label and another label overseas, the Raptor Winkle. They do a lot of stuff with it. Like, they do a lot of stuff for like Conway. So they, so they press, shout to Boz, like over there. So I have a good relationship with him. So, they dropped it. And then Fat Beats was interested. And so they were like, yo, you know, you want to put this on a label too? So I was like, yo, we can repress it. I'm like, yeah. And so they asked me, they was like, yo, can we get one song, got an extra song? So me and Kev gave him like four more. And like, so we put that out. The only tough thing I can say about like, I guess like a label right now is sometimes like when you want things to come out, like right then and there, it doesn't happen because, you know, like pressing vinyl, like right now, like the vinyl plants are so backed up. Mm-hmm. And like trying to get like this or that out at a specific time, sometimes deadlines change. Working with artists sometimes can be cool, and sometimes it can be a headache. Trying to make sure you get the paperwork right. Trying to make sure this person gets this at a timely manner. But like, it's been really like, you know, pain, like with the record plants. It's been really hard. But like, you know, certain things you really have to wait for, and then you have to figure out, when am I going to put this out? When do I do this and when I do that? But it's cool because at the same time, it's mine. It's like, I don't really have to answer to like anybody else. You know, I'm putting out a couple other projects from a couple other artists that'll be out this year. But I mean, that's pretty much the only thing that I pretty much, the problems that I've come up with is like, I guess like making sure like the product is there. Mm. But, you know, that's kind of out of everybody's hands right now. But other than that, like, it's fun. When I get home at night, I answer emails. I'm usually up late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, answering emails or somebody else to answer emails for me. Or, you know, I do it in the morning too. Like, I'm always working. Like, right now, we're working on a website, getting that fully operational. So, yeah, like, it's fun, but at the same time, it's a young label, but I'm still learning. So, yeah, it's cool.
Sounds like it's giving you a lot of freedom.
Yo, it has. It has. And then, like, you know, it's wild, because then people hit me up, and they'll be like, yo, man, like, how do you, like, who do I talk to at Static King Records? They don't really know it's me. I'm like, just contact Jay or something. You know, I like to mess with him. Like, oh, okay, yeah, you got his email. Like, yeah, sure, I'll give it to you. But it's like I have a lot of fun with people and stuff on, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, man, like, just running a label has been fun. But I can tell, like, you know, it's gonna be some ups and downs. But like, I'm looking forward to it. Like, you know, that logo, I like it's cool. Like, I don't know if you can see, like one of my walls of records, like, I put these records out and like they have like my logo on it. That's like a really dope film. Yeah. Like, because he's like, okay, this is mine. It's nothing like it.
Mm. I have a funny story. I don't know if I can, I'm going to tell you real quick. 4 years ago, do you know, there's a record store in Philly called Brewery Town Beach. Do you know it?
Yeah, I know them because like I do a lot of, I do a lot of digging, and like, I met them in Toronto. I do a lot of digging, and sometimes I assist. I got a homeboy of mine I grew up with named Gene Brown. Gene is like the record god. So sometimes I help him sell records, and like, I met them when I was there. I was going to actually say something about them in the interview because I need to send them some records too. Those dudes are thorough. They always look out. They always got records. Like, it's like when I go to in Toronto with the live convention, yeah. like a lot of the dudes in Toronto I would consider like family. And those dudes too, it's like every time I probably went like the last 3 years, we haven't had it because of COVID these past 2 years. But
yeah,
like it's almost like a family reunion, like going up there and like seeing each other. Mm. And like, man, it's like I feel like I need to come to Philly more. Like Philly's only like an hour and a half away from DC. And I'm in New York a lot. Like I spend most of my time in New York and like in DC. So like I need to go and check those dudes out, man. Like that's family right there.
I was in there in 18. It was after the convention. And yeah. I remember going in there and the owner, Max, he was like, yo, he was like, he would always try to like introduce me to people if I didn't know them. He was like, yo, I have this record. He was like, it's this guy, Jay Sinai. We just saw him at the convention and he showed me and it was an actual Heat. And he was just like, do you know him? And I was like, no, I don't. And he was like trying to give me, he was just like, he's really dope or whatever. And I ended up leaving because I didn't buy anything because this is when I worked a job that I didn't make a lot of money at. So I could like, I was just kind of browsing. And then like later, I don't know what point, I don't know when it was, but I remember seeing that album cover and I found you somehow. And I was like, oh shit. And I was like, this is who Max was trying to tell me about. Mm. And I remember the album cover because I love that picture of you. I think it's such a good picture.
Yo, I don't like me personally, I hope you're recording all this. I hate taking pictures. And
really?
I hate like, yo, I hate that shit. I hate like that picture. I was like, damn, I hate this picture.
Mm. Because, oh, like, I think it's so good.
Want, like the picture, I wanted something like totally like different, but like we went with it and I was like, all right, it's cool. Because it's like, it was like my first like real like official release. And then it was like,
yeah.
I like the album picture cover was all pixelated and shit. I was like, man, what the hell is this? But if you look at it, you can't tell, but I can tell.
Yo, a slug supreme, holes in the bloodstream, scope the crime scene, the limousine was clean, intervene from the damn things that I've seen, your life's like a trampoline broken in the street, a love supreme, played at the guillotine, execution, excel the nicotine, Caribbean queen, sunscreen, apple sheen, afro beat, 98% compatible data sheet, I reign supreme, the force full stream, my regime was waiting at the gate, fuck your team, get money, niggas never stop to make memes, get out of my dreams, get in my car, Josephine. Sorcerer supreme, master with fact and D. You think you're gonna succeed? You need more than vaccine. Niggas got guns, I harness a laser beam. I'm on to the slot machine, coins make green. Color supreme.
I wanted to ask about Stray from the Pack, though, because it's one of my favorite albums of 2021.
Thank you.
I still remember when E sent that to me right after it came out and was like, yo, you gotta listen to this. And just a great album. At what point did you and Kev decide, we did Drum Machine tape cassette, we got to make another full length?
When I came back from Canada with them records, like it was like the second, I think I said, yeah, I had did a show, like it was a live convention. It was like, shout out to my homeboy, shout out to Bozak Morris. He put out an album called Popular Mechanics together.
Yeah.
And I was in Toronto a lot, like recording the album with Bozak. And, you know, he's another record. He sells records also, too. He's got a label called GBR. No, GBRR. And so, I was at the record commission. I was at the Brewerytown Beats. I was at their table, like, just buying records from everybody and stuff. And I came back, like, with this stack of records. And I didn't even go home yet. And I went over there. And, like, I think, like, yeah, he was having, like, it was like a family, like, get-together and stuff. I was like, yo, son. We need to know. I came in. I was all hype. There's people over there. I was like, yo, we need to get this. We need to do this. Blah, 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 blah. And then I think we went down. We went downstairs in the basement. And like he had this, he had everything set up. And I was like, yo, dude, I got this idea. We need to do this. We need to go ahead and start working on this next project. Mm. And like he was feeling it. He was like, you know, yeah, like let's go ahead and do it. Like, and like if you listen to like the album, like the intro and stuff like that, parts of the intro. It's like certain stuff that I was talking about. He actually had his phone on. Somebody had a phone on it, and some of that stuff was like me talking, like that day, like when we came, you know, we start recording. Like the first beat, I sat there and I made Out the Safari. I made that beat, and I made like Siberian Summer or whatever. And right there. And he was just sitting there. He's like, yeah, let's go. And so we just started it from that moment. Like when I came back, I think it was the second or the third live convention I went to, because I did a show with I opened up for it was Buck Wild and Finesse. Hmm. Yeah. And I was like, this rock. And ever since that moment, he was coming with these beats. I was coming with these beats. And it was just, we had fun making that album. The first one too. It was just fun. That's how it all started. I came up with the title. I'm like, yo, this album don't sound like nobody else's. Everybody else doing the same thing. We straight from the pack. We like the two wolves that just decided to go their own route. So I came up with that. I came up with the artwork for the album. Hmm. I was like, let's do this. And so got the artwork and everything. The artwork don't even look like anybody else's album. So I'm like, yeah, it was, I love that album, man. I love that project. Shout out to Kev Brown.
Yeah, absolutely.
The legend, legend, Kev Brown, yo. It's funny because during the pandemic, when me and Kev was working on Straight, we were working on Straight from the Pack. We were pretty much done with it, but we couldn't see each other to mix it. We figured out how to mix it through Zoom. We mixed that album through Zoom.
Wow.
I'm like, he told me we could do that. I'm like, what fucking kind of Luke Skywalker shit you talking about? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah. He's like, yo, man. He's like, I saw it on this. He's like, I saw somebody doing it on Twitch. He's like, man, we gonna try it. So we figured it out and we mixed the album through Zoom. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Most of it was mixed through Zoom. Then we started on it before, like I said, the pandemic. We finished it on Zoom. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's crazy. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds go ahead, E.
Nope, you go.
No.
I think we're going to say the same thing, but it sounds like you and Kev really have great chemistry. I mean, I think it really comes through in your work. So I wondered how long it took for you all to establish this rapport.
The first time we met each other, we just clicked. The very first time that we actually met, we talked for hours, and it was just okay. This dude is cool, you know. And we just hung out for a while, and then we just started, you know, we eventually started working on music. And it didn't take any time, we're both about our work, you know, about getting our work done, getting the music done, and getting it out there. Yeah. Yo, I learned, I've learned a lot from Kev. He's probably learned some stuff from me too. But I'm thinking yo, this dude has been here. He's been there. He's done this. He's done that. I'm like, he produced for this person. When he's sending beats to this person, I'm just I'm in awe. And I'm like, it's cool. Sometimes I can't believe I'm actually working with this person. And just not just rhyming, but he's rhyming on my beats. Or my beats are on a project with his.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy to me.
Yeah, it seems like a partnership. It's not just
it's real easy. We're both of us are real easy to work with. You know what I'm saying? If you were getting the work done, whatever, we're easy to work with.
We talked to Meticulous a couple of months ago.
Shout out to Matt, Meticulous.
You and Kev Brown have a track on his project. Close range,
yeah.
DJ Premier gets on his show, cuts it up, incredible.
Crazy. Shout out to Meticulous, because I remember he sent us that beat, and I think Kev laid his verse, and I was just I'm flowing to this. We know Meticulous for a while. I met Meticulous at Beer Wax.
Okay.
I think I met him through Chris. Yeah, I noticed something about your podcast too. Most people pretty much know each other. Y'all know Chris, y'all know Carlos. I think I got a class of material shirt on.
I saw that.
Yeah, y'all know Carl, y'all know Los. Everybody pretty much is it's kind of cool. It's a real tight community and stuff, yo. Beer Wax, yeah, me and Kev did an album release party there. That shit was dope. That was a great album release party for the first album. Meticulous is the homie, man. I love that song.
It sounds like you wrote to that beat. That was a verse you wrote specifically for that track.
Yeah, I did. I wrote that verse real fast, and I recorded it, and I was like, I recorded and sent it right back to him. He was like, yo. And I did, like, he's like, yo, can you do, like, just do a hook real fast? I just freestyled a hook. And damn, that was it. Mm. Yeah, that beat was, to me, when I heard it, I was like, this beat is fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For sure. So, like, I'm happy about that. That single did very, very well. You know, so, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of his album.
Jay Cyanide, I just have one question.
All right.
Before we move on. In your professional experience, what's it going to take to get a new full-length album from YU?
Damn, that's a good question. I think he's working on something. But no, YU has a lot of work, a lot of material, a lot of albums done. So I think it's going to be this year, and I think it's going to be real soon.
Mm.
That's like the, yo, he's probably like the one of the illest MC. I wouldn't call him an MC. I just call him like a wordsmith.
Mm.
Like that, yo, that man is ill.
Mm-hmm.
He's ill on the mic. He's ill with the beats. You know, I haven't seen YU in a while. But like, you know, we hit each other back and forth, like, you know, ever so often. One of the first singles before I dropped the actual heat, he did his beat. I had a song called Garbage that he did. And that song did great for me also. He's dope, but I think it's coming. I think it's coming this year. Okay. I think a lot of things from him are coming this year, yo. Okay. That man is dope.
Okay.
Shout out to YU.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm not gonna hold you to that, but I'm ready. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, man. I know these things. I'm like a Nostradamus over here, man. For real. I'm telling you.
All right. This is the year.
This is the year. I'm telling you, it's gonna happen.
I'm here for it.
If it's not the year, Rob's gonna send you hate mail.
I can tell. Probably will send me some hate mail.
Nah.
I'll be like, yo, why you are like, man, come on, man. You gotta come with it, yo. You gotta put something out. I'm getting all this hate mail right here. Like, hey. And we gotta stay in contact, man.
I'm like,
as soon as he drop it, I'll be like, told you so. Told you. It's gonna be fire. Watch. It's gonna be fire.
I will be very happy.
You heard that verse he did on my first album?
Yeah.
Yo, you know how much pressure I was under? Yo, Nolan. Yo, my Superstition. That's one of my best friends. Super, like Cam is one of my best friends. Like, we used to be neighbors. Superstition. YU. Then I got to rhyme last. So like, yo, come on, yo. Yo, that song was, I listened to that song the other day. I'm like, yo, fire, man. Stupid.
Yeah, quite honestly, every time I see YU's name, I get excited. I'm ready.
Yeah. It's coming, man. For real.
All right. Organized confusion. Is it time?
Back is the incredible O. Merging up to another level, there I stand. Hand to hand, rap, combat, black, back in the land. I expand, dated for the whack, leaving mutilated bodies, lacerated limbs, grim sights, the new jacks. Pick up six and grab the orb, dig deep into the ghetto. I take you to a new realm, levitating above the norm, anticipating me to pick up seven more new jacks and commencing with dissipating. The original aborigine in the vicinity, the city's committee, consider me the trilogy of terror. Whatever I do, I bring light. You're blinded by the glare of the trendsetter. Beware when I strike, blueprints like no other. The soldier of fortune, the undercover rebel or rap attacking, the ones who's attacking blacks. I'm on a mission in peace, I make tracks. Elevate with the almighty God in front of me. Teach seeds in the hoods, the truth. The wannabe competitor will have no other choice but to surrender. Can't stand the pressure, the extinction agenda.
Word. Let's go. Let's rock.
So every episode, we spend the second half of the episode talking about a classic / influential album as chosen and defined by our guests. So tonight we are talking about Stress, the Extinction Agenda by Organized Confusion. So Jay Cyanide, we ask every person the same question to start. Why are we talking about this album tonight?
Yo, this album was like a blueprint. This album let me know. This is one of those albums that let me know, like, you can, like, with this hip hop thing, you can do what the fuck you want.
Mm.
I'm like, yo, these dudes are fucking Ringling Brothers. Like, the trapeze artists, like they doing the flips. I'm like, who was rhyming like that? Who's still rhyming like that? Nobody is rhyming like Prince Poetry or Pharrell Munchichi. Nobody out here right now or back then are rhyming like them. When I was a little kid, I watched Rap C and I saw Who Stole My Last Piece of Chicken. That video was horrible. But I was like, yo, the song was dope as shit. And I was like, yo, I don't know who these dudes are, but yo, I like that song. Fudge Fudge comes out. Oh fuck. I'm like, yo, To the Organ. I'm like, who the fuck? And it had OC. I'm like, who are these dudes? Mm. Yo, it's like, yo, I have so much respect for them and like the way that they can flip all these syllables and these verbs and everything into like these bars. Like it's just insane. Like the first album was one of the first albums I ever had. Mm. And you know, like when everybody else was buying, like when I was growing up, everybody else was buying like, what was that, like popular, like, I don't know, fucking Too Short or this or that, like where everybody like was buying, like, I don't know, like what was the popular music. I was always buying this shit, like the different artists. And people were like, oh God, you know, they're looking at me like, oh man, he a nerd. Why are you buying this? Like what is this? But like, it's just certain songs and certain things that just got me. And it's like, you know, like I said, from the first album to that album, like I was always a fan. Like when I got the first album, I used to have a boombox in my room, like an old, like breakdance looking boombox that I don't know, my dad got it from like a thrift store or something. And I would just play music at night with headphones, and like these big ass headphones. I would just listen to music at night, you know, before I go to bed. And I never forget, like I had, that Organized Confusion album. I listened to it for the first time, and it was this song called Hypnotical Gases. Hmm. And yo, have y'all ever heard it?
Mm-hmm.
Know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, when I heard, yo, I had dozed off, and then like the part when like the rocket ship comes, like I was like, it woke me up. And I like, what the, I was like, you know, I had headphones. I'm like, oh, like what is this? And it was like the weather report sample came on. I knew what that was because my dad used to play like a lot of weather report albums. Hmm. This shit used to scare the shit out of me. It was like weather report albums was just wild when I was a kid. And I heard that shit. When I heard that, I was just like, oh, I'm fucking with these dudes. Prisoners of War, like Southside, Open Your Eyes, all these songs. Like, I'm fucking with these. Walking to the Sun, I'm fucking with these dudes. And, you know, that kind of pretty much set everything off for me. And like, you know, I was trying to tell my friends about it. It was like, I don't want to hear that shit. Hmm. And so then I remember going to like I didn't know they had a new album out yet. And I went to a store, and this dude, like I said, he brought the album back. It was brand new. He's like, I want my money back. I don't know what this music is. This is whack. And I looked at it and I was like, is that Pharrell March and like Prince Poe? Like, what is this? I asked the lady behind the counter, and she's like, oh, this is group Organized Confusion. She like, you want it? Like, I give it to you like half price, because it was already open. I was like, I was trying to be cool about it. Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, you see that fucking art, the artwork?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think who did it? I think it was W. I think he did the artwork. Like,
yeah. Same guy who did Company Flow album cover.
Oh, he did some stuff with Geology too, I think. I mean, the way they look, like I used to read Marvel comics, I'm like, yo, they look like the Celestials. They look like the, like, you know, like, I'm like, look at how they look. Look at this. I was like, wow. So I took that, and like that just pretty much put me on my way. I'm like, yo, it let me know, like, I don't have to, I mean, the first album was dope. It let me know I don't have to rhyme like how everybody else rhymes. But that album was like, yo, son, you do not have to rhyme like these motherfuckers. Fuck them. Mm. I was like, yo, this album is just the shit, you know? Mm. And like, man, like like, I don't know, I just owe, I don't know, I just owe a lot to them and shit, like, from my style, and a lot of us that rhyme now, like this next school of rappers, we owe a lot to them.
I have a lot of respect for Pharoah Monch because he has chronic asthma.
That too.
And you would never know that. And it's interesting because I heard him do an interview with Talib Kweli, and he was telling him because he had breathing problems, he patterned his rhyming after John Coltrane. So he would listen to John Coltrane, and he would try to style his rhyming in the same way.
Like a scat with the instrument, like making your voice an instrument or something.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I just thought that was so interesting.
You can kind of hear that. I mean, I feel like
I think you can too.
The words like kind of fall out of him, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's this burst of vocabulary.
Yeah. I think you're right, Rob. I was going to say that just the way that he rhymes, I'm thinking about like Stray Bullet when he says trifling, the way he says trifling, like he says it. He like almost, it's almost like he's spelling it out the way he says it's like trifling.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's so, it's such a unique way to approach how you rhyme. And so, yeah, I just have a lot of respect for him. And I want to tell you, you said Pharoah Monchichi, and that's partly how he got his name. And I had to look up what a Monchichi was because I didn't remember, and I was
fucking weak
when I looked it up. Because did you ever hear the story of why that happens, of
like
why he got his name from Monchichi?
He looked like one. Look at that picture. You got the picture in the back. You look like a fucking Monchichi. Yo, look at that picture. You see the Fudge Pudge video? You look like a fucking, you like the biggest Monchichi ever.
Yeah. That's why, because he said he went to get his hair cut and the barber fucked him up. So he went to school in high school, had to wear a hat, and the teacher was like, "What are you doing? Take the shit off." And this girl was like, "This dude look like a Monchichi, look at him." And
everybody
clowned him, and he was like, "Well, I'm gonna use that."
Yeah,
Monchichi. Yo.
Yeah.
Monchichi.
Oh shit.
Yo, Monchichi means happiness. That's, I remember the cartoon. Yo, but another thing too about Organized Confusion is they were students of like 12 Studios. I'm almost like a historian. Like when it comes to old hip hop and like things I always wanted to know about, like 12 Studios in Queens, they worked under Paul C.
Yeah,
Paul C was another one of my favorite groups, another I kind of patterned my style under is like Ultra Magnetic. So like Paul C was that dude. He's working with Eric B and Rakim, like Lars Professor came up under Paul C, and like they were working with him. And he basically taught them a lot of stuff about their flows and about beats and everything. So when I was a kid, like I guess I was a fucking like a hip hop nerd. I always be like, I wish I could have went to Studio 1212, where I could have did this and that. People just look at me like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like, but I used to always be interested in like and stuff like that. And like these dudes were students of that. I know Paul C's not here anymore, but I don't know. I think if he was, he most definitely would be proud of him. Cause what they did with a microphone and like beats, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You gotta respect them. That album was like from the artwork, from the beginning, Stress. Yo, this motherfucker Prince Po is in the snow with no shirt on the video. Yo, in the snow with no shirt on in the video. Like, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Yo, I remember that beat. I was like, this beat is crazy. Mm. Like before, like I did a little review and stuff because he just came back on. Well, this album is, I guess it's on DSPs right now, finally.
Right.
Yo, I had a hit, but I don't have like my old tape or like my old CD, I don't have the copies. So, I mean, name drop, I hit Buck Wild, I hit a Buck, I was like, yo, which songs did you do on this album? And like he told me like the ones he did, I was just like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like motherfucker, like, yo, he did 13. You did 13? Mm. I'm like, mm-hmm. You did why? I'm like, mm-hmm. You did stress.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mm-mm-mm. So good.
This album's good. Ask me questions. I'm sorry. I'm just talking about like, ask me questions. I'll just have it a moment.
That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, no. That we love this. Also, I want to say, who the fuck would take this CD back?
Yo, I'm telling you, like, he, you know how certain people you could just see, you just look at them, and you could just tell, like, why the fuck did you buy
whack.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell, like, you can look at what they're wearing, or like their man, like, you know, how they came in, the way, like his demeanor. I was like, like, why the fuck would you take this back?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm like, but you know what? I'm glad he did.
Yeah,
because would I have this album? I know I probably would have bought it, but like I didn't even know it was out, and yo, I was just so hyped to get it, and she gave it to me for like half the price because it was open. Shit, yo,
it was fate. Like,
yeah, it was. I think it was fate. And I'm just like, man, I really shot them out, yo. Shout out to Record Exchange. Yeah, that was that. But like I said, that album, it set a lot of stuff off of me, especially like just the rhymes.
Yeah.
Like, my bad. I had a moment. I was just thinking like, you know, then playing it for people, like playing for my peers, like who actually like were into that type of music, like the type of stuff I was into. Like we were just all like just blown away. It kind of pretty much made us really want to like concentrate on writing these rhymes, getting our shit off.
Mm.
So yeah, it was a crazy album.
Think about from a historical perspective. This album came out in 1994, same year as Illmatic and Ready to Die. And from a lyrical perspective, I think you could make the case that Prince Po and Monch were the best lyricists alive in 1994.
They were incredible. And it was like, man, that, and like I watched old footage of the stage show, and you gotta think like you were just saying, like, he has asthma, he's rhyming like this.
Yeah.
And you know, Munch was a little heavy set back then, and he's rhyming like this, killing it. I think another thing, like, I learned a lot, like, from just watching them, about like stage presence. Like, you know, I haven't had a chance to really do too many shows because like the pandemic, but when I do, like, I have my breath control. I worked on my breath control because I watched them. I running up the stairs, rhyming, doing my rhymes, just jogging, doing my rhymes and stuff. Like, just watching both of them like perform, like that helped me out a lot. Like, I'm most definitely a student of like Organized Confusion. And like of this album, like I played this shit to death. I played it so much. Like, I don't know, I think my dad knows this album. You know, it was that much. You know, my pops is into hip hop too, so he really appreciated this album too.
Did you listen to much Freestyle Fellowship?
I'll be honest with you, I couldn't listen to Freestyle Fellowship. No, man. It was a sudden. I like Hot Potato. Yeah. And I like, what's that other song they had? They had a video for it. Everybody like, they had a song with Daddy-O. Gotta be righteous, gotta be me, gotta be, you know, yeah.
That was like the big single, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, but like, I could not, what's the name of that album? To Whom It May Concern? I think that's the name of it.
That was the debut, yeah.
But that, yeah, that, I could not, I think that song was called Boundaries.
Inner City Boundaries. That was on Inner City Griots, their second album.
I tried. I'm an East Coast kid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the stuff that they were doing, like Freestyle Fellowship, like AC Alone, like Medusa, like Volume 10, like they had that scene, The Good Life.
Mm-hmm.
That scene, like, yo, it was a lot of good. It was a lot of dope MCs that came out of that scene. Then like what Hieroglyphics was doing, like, you know, all of, it's like, I don't know, it's like something happened And like, it's like something happened, and like the bars and the lyricism game just went up, like in 93, 94.
Yeah.
Like things just went to like a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like those of us that was there to witness it, like it was a beautiful thing. Like it's just like, I don't know, it's like in different stages. And like, you know, 91, 92, it was a little different. But like when 93, 94 came, like it was just bonkers.
Yeah, it just took off. I bring up Freestyle Fellowship just because I also didn't listen to them when back then, but in listening to them now, they feel to me like the only true like contemporaries of Organized Confusion. It's like jazz in the same way. They both feel like jazz and hip hop, like jazz and rap form. Maybe slightly different perspectives, but to me that's the only comparison. Freestyle Fellowship, Organized Confusion.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that because I'm like, yo, who else is doing it like them? Like, I think like Hyro came like a little bit later, but like, I don't know, you're right. Yeah, nobody was doing it like Organized Confusion. Like, it's just the rhyme. Like, I'm just saying, like, the, like when I say like Ringling Brothers, like the acrobatics of the rhymes and stuff, like, and the things they were saying, like 13, he was like, I rip your shit like Sinead. Like, remember when Sinead O'Connor ripped the, to join on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. Picture like, Pope, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Pesci lost his fucking mind. I remember, like, I was like a little kid. Like, I remember that. Like,
I do too.
Yeah, I was like, damn. And then, like, you know, he put that in a line. I was like, this dude is an animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people always talk about Pharrell Munch, but they always forget about Prince Poe.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, psh.
Yeah.
God damn. I'm like, yo, perfect partner. They were the perfect partners for each other. They are the perfect partners for each other. I mean, or it's not like they really broke up or anything like that. It's still Organized Confusion.
Yeah,
it's crazy. They were actually in DC like not too long ago, like right before COVID. Like, I remember Lil Brother had a show, like at like when the Lil Brother was going back on tour. Mm-hmm. And, like everybody was it was crazy because, you know, Lil Brother's back. And like, I remember like Pharrell Munch had a anniversary for like Internal Affairs.
At the Kennedy and Center,
the Kennedy Center. And like, yeah, and Prince Poe was there because they did some joints together. I'm like, I wanted to be there, but I saw people's video of it. Like, I think I was at the Little Brother show. I was like, man, damn. Yo, I'm like, what? Like, they're there? Because I know I would have been the one in the crowd like screaming like, do this song, do why, drop bombs, do bring it on. I would have been that dude. I would have nerded out for a minute. I know me. Yeah, I would have nerded out. I would have said it like, do this. That way I wasn't saying it like, that would have been me. But like, I don't know, my celebrity status now probably would have been backstage.
When you listen to Poe and Munch's back and forth, do you find similarities when you think about you and Kev?
I do. Yeah, I do. Like, you know, because like the majority of like another thing too, the majority of the album, they produced this themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one thing about them, they didn't have like a bunch of like guest appearances. They might have OC came in, like Q-Tip came in for like Let's Organize. Yeah. He just did the hook. But like, that's another thing. Me and Kev don't have too many like guest appearances like on our stuff. We just do it ourselves.
Right.
You know, we might come up with an idea or this and that, and like we just bounce things off each other. It's like, yeah. And because there's not too many duos like that, but I can see that. I see a strong comparison. Like, I can see that. I guess I'm like, yo, I can see that. I'd probably be like the Pharrell Munch, you'd be the Prince Poe or something. You know. Or vice versa. Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't see that. I appreciate that. That's dope. That's dope that you see that.
Yeah. I think you, like, both you and Kev and then Munch and Poe really complement one another. The rapport that you have with each other on any given song, I think, for me, it sounds similar just because you can tell that you work really well together sonically. Like, it comes out in the music.
Yeah.
So I was thinking a lot about that when I was listening to this record this week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I gotta tell him that. I tell him to check out this episode too.
Yeah, that's man. Dope. Yeah,
check out the next movement, Kev Brown. When you think about the production on Stress on the album, mm-hmm. what do you think you've taken from that and used in your own work?
The darkness of like some of the beats, uniqueness of some of the beats. Some of the beats are just like, what's that song? The Extinction Agenda, the song that some of the stuff that they use, some of the samples. I'm like, they basically like that album is something about it. It's kind of dark, but it's like and the drums knock. I listen to that album like I like my drums to knock real hard, and I sometimes sample like a lot of dark, moody, like records, and you know, like I can see that I got a little bit of style from them. Like same thing with Monch. Like listening to the way Monch flows, like I try to add different things in my flow. Like try to add extra like lines or syllables like in a bar, you know. And going back and listening to this album now, it's kind of like not messing with my writing, but I'm like certain things I'm like, I could have said that better. I could have said that better. But like there's something about it and the scratches, like there's certain songs, like why?
Baby, what's the beef before? Used to do my chores, now you're acting like a whore. Phones at my crib, with you off to the store. But now, you don't love me no more. Hey, by the way, who's Kurt? Left a message on my machine, said you didn't come to work. You ate wall from the job. Plus, who's Rob? The way you're acting, I think you've been slobbing her. Sometimes I swear, I think I feel like robbing her. But my papa told me never to snuff no girls. You give them diamonds, jewels, birds. The time I wanna diss her. You couldn't blame me if I cheat her like Amy Fisher and dismiss her from the courtroom in a Hugo. You know, something like Joe but a Fuco. But deep inside my heart, the pain still stings. When I think back and remember, I was gonna swing her a ring for her ring finger. Yes, I used to bang her like Inga Binga Bunga, but I'm out like Felix Sunger, so
like I know Buck did that beat, but it's just something about like that beat. Like the jazziness of it. And this album makes me want to go back and listen to more jazz albums also. Mm-hmm. Like I've been listening to like a lot of, I guess like rock records, but this album makes me want to go back and listen to a lot of jazz, especially like I said, since it's back out, was out on Spotify and Apple Music and everything. I've been listening to it a lot and it's pretty much, I don't know. I'm like listening to it. I'm like, I'm getting a lot of ideas, like a lot of dope ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a fucking good choice, man. Like, I'm just thinking about this record. I'm like, this is a dope choice.
It made me realize that there's so many albums that we haven't talked about yet because I kind of, not that I forgot about this album, but I kind of did in regards to our show. Like, I'm just like, oh yeah, we haven't talked about this yet.
Like, I had this album blasting today. Like, because I knew what we were going to do this interview.
Yeah.
I had it blasting like 13. Over and over and over. Stress. Yo, the Stress remix, the Lost Professor.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have it on 7-inch, like a 45 too.
Mm.
And like, you know, it is, I guess it's on the digital version also.
Yeah.
Yo, I think I had the maxi single for it when I was a kid, a little cassette. Yo, he killed that. Like with the how it starts, like with that sound, the SP-1200. Mm-hmm. Man. Oh my God, yo, they dope, yo. Simply Too Positive, aka Organized Diffusion, yo. I'm like, that's another thing, yo. Shout out to
Bob. I'm so glad.
Like, shout out to Bobito. Bob showed me like the demo tape one time, like Simply Too Positive, because I think he tried to get them a deal at Def Jam. And like, I actually got a chance to hold it and look at it. And I was just like, wow.
Mm.
Yo,
that's fucking
beautiful
bananas.
Moment. You know, shout out to Bob, man. That's a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I am very glad they changed your name, though.
Oh yeah, Simply Too Positive wasn't working.
No,
that wasn't that wasn't working. I heard like the Roots' first name was like Black to the Future or something. No, yeah, you can't. Yeah, the Roots works. Let's stick with the Roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Organized Confusion is honestly like one of the most. I just think it's a perfect name for them. It's like the most appropriate name. One of the most appropriate names I can think of in hip hop.
Yeah, and they got, you know, and I think the story was that like Def Jam wanted to sign him and
Russell
was like, you know, y'all gotta change that damn name, yo. It's gonna be too positive. And so they thought about Organized Confusion. Like, okay, that works. That's that's better. And you know, it was like straight up 90s, because I'm thinking it's 90s because, yo, they spelled the confusion with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some 90s shit right there.
Definitely is.
But to this day, it's still a dope ass name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's like I said, it's like an album. Like, I can't front because it wasn't, I listened to like a lot of stuff on my Spotify or whatever, or on my Apple Music. It's an album I forgot about. But then I also had an instrumental version of this album. Mm. I got the instrumentals, like the vinyl. And so I would go back and listen to it like ever so often. But like, you know, just having it now and I can just go listen to it anytime I want. Yo,
yeah.
It's like, it's nothing like it. It brought back a lot of dope memories. You know, I'm not going outside in the snow with no shirt on, but you know, I mean, I like looking at old pictures of them. I remember we used to rock like ski goggles for no fucking reason on our head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did that shit because I saw like, you know, watch videos, Organized Confusion did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fucking way.
60 degrees outside. We got ski goggles on our heads, yo. Because they doing it, you know. 40 below, it's this picture. Like, when I never forget, like, Source Magazine. I think, I forgot how many mics they got for this album. But like both of them are like in a mirror, and it's two SP1200s. And I was like, at the time, I was like, wow, SP1200, like, what is that? You know, like, I was trying to figure out what drum machines were. I was like, yo, I just thought that picture just always sticks in my mind. Like, these dudes mean business. They got two SP1200s. They must be, I don't know what the hell they doing, but yo, they about to get busy and shit. They about to kill this music.
Love it. I love that you picked this album.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, let me ask you, what are your favorite songs on this album?
Definitely Black Sunday.
Black Sunday.
Ooh, I love the singing.
That's another thing. Munch sings a lot, which is dope too.
I really love his singing voice. Stray Bullet, Maintain.
Maintain is great.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep, shout out to Rock Wilder. I mean, Stress. I just, a Buck Wild beat, like, I'm a sucker for that. But yeah, Stress is really good. I mean, there's no throwaways on this for me.
No, it's not.
Like,
it's,
I don't.
You can listen to it all the way through.
There's no tracks where I'm like, they could have done without this. I like every single song on here.
Yeah, from the, like, the little intro. He's like, oh, I'm so confused. I listen to that. I'm like, yo, that. Like, listening to it like now, I'm like, yo, this shit is still dope.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Rob?
For me, I think Let's Organize is probably my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking real hard about where, that was the first song I heard off this album. And I think it must have been, WPGC I grew up in the DC area. WPGC used to have this like underground hip hop show, like late nights on Fridays or something. And I think that's where I heard it. And I didn't really know who Organized Confusion was at the time, but I love that song because I love Tribe. And I was like, yo, who are these guys? So that really put me on. So Let's Organize is probably my favorite for that reason. And then Stress. I mean, Stress is just.
Yeah.
Yo, Stress so is the, it's the one. Yeah. It's, that's the one. Like I said, the video was crazy. Like the remix is ridiculous. I'm like, have either one of you ever met like Poa March?
No.
Shit, I wish.
Not yet.
I keep waiting to run into him at Beer Wax. Because I know he goes there. I'm just like, one day it's going to happen.
One time I was at Central Park Summer Stage and March was performing. And I was like backstage. And he had like a trailer and stuff, and I like I wanted to say something to him. It's like so bad, but I was just like I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh man, you know, I didn't want to come across as like, it's been a few times that like I've been in the room or been in the area like near him, and I never said anything. Like I remember, like when around the time I moved to, probably to DC around the time of like the Obama's inauguration, like around that time, okay. The first one, and like the city was like, I mean, it was just crazy when I moved here. Like people was dancing on in the street and everything. It was just bananas. Like that whole when he got inaugurated that weekend,
yeah.
He did a show at this spot. And like it was, he did Prisoners of War. I think he did 13. He did all kind of shit. I was like, "Yo," he was like, right standing right next to me. I ain't say shit. Who knows? One day, I met Prince Poe before too, and like he was mad cool. Okay. Like I've actually like had like conversations with him before, and that shit just threw me the fuck off, yo. Like, like wow, you know, this you Prince poetry and shit. But I never, you know, told him like, you know. I know fanned out and did no raps for him and no shit like that. Yeah, I'm like, you know, you try to be cool, you know.
Yeah.
Real cool for about sure. Stuff.
Yeah. You should definitely say something to Monch next time you see him, though.
Yeah, next time I'll be like, next hey, time. Man.
Hey, Monchichi, like, what's good?
Yeah, Monch, I'll say, yo. Oh, shit. You'd probably be like, what? You like, what
who
you call me?
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah. That would be a great introduction. That'd be a great introduction.
Just go with like, it. Just do it.
Yeah.
You'd get his attention.
I probably would. But like, you know, I gotta give it to him. Like he was one of the main people that made me like, you know, like the like step up, you know, breath control. And like it's crazy like that. I remember he was like real chubby. He lost the weight. Like I used to be real chubby and like I lost like he was one of like I like, you know what? He lost that weight. I'm like, I could do that. So he was one of the, like, he was like a inspiration for that. So, you know, maybe I'll tell him that if I ever meet him.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be a great talk.
Keep us posted on that.
Someday, yeah.
Of course.
We appreciate you coming on, Jay Cyanide. This is a dope conversation.
I appreciate it, man. I hope I wasn't too long-winded.
Nah.
No, like, yo, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
Y'all could cut some of this up. No. Most definitely.
No, we're not cutting anything up.
I bet. But like, yeah, I had fun. I got a chance to talk about, you know, one of my favorite albums, but it was hard, you know, it was a toss up. It was like, it was this album. I was going to like, it was hard because like, but then I heard 13. I was like, I got to talk about this one. It was this album. It was the Beatnuts street level album. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was going to be, Stunts, Blunts and Hip Hop.
Whoa.
Like Diamond D. It was going to be those. But yo, we can only do hip hop albums, right?
Well, I mean, so we don't really, we're not the gatekeeper in terms of what people define as hip hop. I mean, we sort of said it should be in that realm. But we've done, I mean, you can take it or leave this, but we've done an album about Frank Ocean. We did Channel Orange. So we had Ursula Rucka on.
Yeah, that is right.
She picked Channel Orange, and we were just kind of like, yeah, man, like, why not? So
I was going to say, because if it was like any album or something like that, I probably would have picked like Joe Jackson, like Day and Night or some shit.
Wow. Oh, damn. You know,
Night and Day. That's like Night and that Day, album. Yeah. Yeah, if it wasn't, yo, that album was pretty much the base for when I made, like, that album was the base when I made Kaput.
Okay.
Like, I listen to the album a lot. Like, that album was, that's one of my favorite albums. I got it from my dad, like, Stepping Out when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That song, yo, Step Breaking Us in Two, Chinatown, Cancer. Like, I know all these songs. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm walking through New York, I pretty much listen to that album. That album helped me write like Bomb Scare, like all these other songs, like listening to that album. Like when I made the actual Heat, I listened to Midnight Marauders and Closer, like Joy Division.
Okay.
When I made the first album. Wow. So I'm so I always listen to like different types of music. Yeah, but it was Night and Day and Diamond Life, like Sade when I made this new album, which is weird. Yeah. So I was like, yo, if it was like any album, I probably would have did like Night and Day. Like my homeboys, my people, they call me like, always say, he's like, you the Elvis Costello a rap. I was like, is that a fucking compliment? What is that? He's like, yo, what are you fucking listening to? He's like, Elvis Costello of rap, man. I was like, ah, you know what? I like that. I fuck with Elvis too. So I'm like, because y'all know I used to have a radio show too, right?
Right. Tacoma Radio.
Yeah. Look at you. Yeah. Like me and my boy Ace, like we had a radio show. It was dope. It was fun. Like he moved to Brooklyn. Okay. So we stopped doing it. But like we still do like a little playlist, Neverland like playlist ever so often. But like, yeah, that shit was fun. So Ace pretty much knows. He pretty much helps me with most of my artwork, him and TTK. So, he knows me. He don't want to call me the Elvis Costello. I'm like, all right, man, I'll take that. Do y'all know like that? If y'all don't know that Joe Jackson album, like, just listen to it one day.
I know some of the tracks that you mentioned, but I don't know if I'm familiar with the whole album. Yeah, someday maybe we'll have to do like hip hop adjacent albums, and that's when.
Yeah. If y'all do, let me know, cause like that album is the artwork, like it's just something about that album. My dad was a big influence on my like music, like and his record collection was just dumb. Like some of the stuff he would listen to, I'm just like, yo, man, this shit's dope. Like, what is this? Like, my dad would listen to he'd go from Mandrill to like Roxy Music to this and that. I'm like, yo, so fine, I listen to everything. Yeah. If it's dope, I'm gonna listen to it. Yeah.
Same.
So I'm like, all right, I think I've said enough. I said enough tonight. But like, yeah, y'all ever do that, Jace? Man, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I had fun.
Is there anything you want people to know about
upcoming
projects where they can reach you on social media?
Rap name is J Sinai. You know, just look it up. It's a different rap name. You know, just look up the J S C I E N I D E. Static King Records, the website will be up probably like by next month. Look out for my projects. Look out for the actual, you can call the actual Heat, Popular Mechanics, Another Plague of Saint, Drum Machine Take a Set, Straight from the Pack. Like all my music, you can find it like on all streaming services, or you can go to Fat Beats and look up Static King Records and just type in my name and the projects will come up there also. Shout out to Fat Beats for also putting that up.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for Kaput, February the 1st of this year. It's just me. Produced by me, just talking a bunch of shit. Just talking about, you know, shit I like to talk about is me. So yeah, that like first single, Bomb Scare, drops on the 14th. Got a couple other albums coming out this year. I got a big surprise album that a lot of people are gonna be like, oh shit, it's coming out this year. And a couple of projects, they're like, how the fuck did you do that? Mm. Coming out this year. So expect a lot from me. And yeah, like hopefully everything opens back up. Yeah, we'll be touring soon. Me and Kev will be touring. Like, it got a lot of people interested in seeing us over in Europe.
Okay.
And like, you know, so I'm trying to get back overseas most definitely. Like, I got a lot of people trying to hit me up about a lot of booking agents. And I have a few 45s coming out this year too. And hopefully a few 45s coming out through the Static King label.
Lots to look forward to.
I'm doing a lot. I got a lot coming out this year. I'm excited. I'm actually excited. I got 3 test presses that came back for the next 3 projects. So I'm real happy. I'm excited about it. And yo, I'm like, next time, like, I guess when things are a little bit more safer, I got to come up to Philly and come check y'all out.
Yeah, for sure.
I most definitely got to come go digging.
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
Meet up at
most definitely.
Brewerytown Beats.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, yo. Mm-hmm. I go to Philly, I find records everywhere. Like, you know, I'm like, this man sold me records in Fishtown on the street. I'm just like, dope records too. Yeah, so I'm with it. Y'all know any record stores, anything, places I should go? Let me know.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Gotcha.
All right.
But yo, I appreciate it. Yo, thank you. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for having me on the show.
This has been The Next Movement. Thanks for listening.
You can find us on Instagram at The Next Movement Pod, and you can find us on Twitter at Next Movement Pod. No the on Twitter. Very slight difference, but very important.
Okay. Goodbye.
Limitations. Hey, yeah, check it out, picture the scene. The heavyweight jumps into the ring. Pizzazz, glass of Shiraz, crash a cab. Yo, what the fuck y'all looking at? Picking the scabs, don't scratch. Cold hard cash, your Air Max. Reflection, stare back at you, capture. Photographs, Polaroid images. Stare boys, I'm poised. Yo, made some noise, man played out of the refrain. I'm on the marquee, but see they misspell my name. Standing in the rain, getting tickets for this thing. Yo, melanin in the brains, I'm an Asiatic king. The countdown, watch out now, news missed the broadcast. That's a rain forecast, I'm on a warpath. No feedback, the sociopaths, they just laugh. Stabbing in the bloodbath, your life just flashed. The new map was complicated, fuck her was consummated. Sinking in the quicksand, no hands to grab. Hey, yo, lava air text, Professor X, holy intellect. Memorex, tape decks, no respect, I'm next. Yo, skated out the exit, got credit, God dead it. This is jazz music for a new wave, I'm set. Yo, lava air text, Professor X, holy intellect. Memorex, take next, no respect, I'm next. Yo, skated out the exit, got credit, God dead it, this is jazz music for a new wave of set.
Yeah, look all body vomit, straight out of Ghana. With a flop of sauna, it's the Black Dalai Lama. Alibaba, the flow's hotter than the sauna.